And with that, William, the comeback pod is upon us. All the feels fantasy at ATF Fantasy on Football. You thought, people, that, oh, it's free agency. Nothing's happening. These bozos have nothing to talk about. But let me tell you, we left you with some cliffhangers, some March Madness brackets. We're only in early April. Remember, people, this March Madness lasts until June, July, as long as we want. But alas, there were more unfortunate reasons for our absence. Young co-host Billiam was involved in a pretty serious car accident, has been recovering. You may hear a slight hiccup in his voice, but he is a champion, a man of musk, a man of scholarship, and a man of strength. And that is my co-host today. How are you doing, Billiam?
What an intro. Sounds like you've been doing this for the years we've been doing this. I mean, if we were to roll back a little bit, how many times have you like let off the show? Like twice?
I think this is my third time.
Oh, wow.
Third time. And we I hesitate to count like episode like 6 or 7 because it was all amateur hour at that point. Not that we've evolved much from there, but yeah.
Speaking of amateur hour, I mean, your voice sounds absolutely pristine today. I mean, you are making up for my lack of voice because I don't know what's going on with your internet system or whatever, but woo, you have brought it back after a month absence here.
I will say I'm recording from my kitchen / dining room table. So, you know, new acoustics, new voice, new carry. It's great. So we got a lot to get into. Okay. We've been gone a while. There's almost too much to try and catch up people on, but we will sprinkle in a little bit of NFL, a little bit of music corner. We've got some March Madness brackets, multiple, one new, one to update on. But wanted to give you a little update, Billiam. Obviously, you know, we're having our son Parker on Monday, and we are also closing on a house on Monday.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So I will look forward to my, subreddit password for the homeowner subreddit soon enough. Karen Soisman she's a grinder. She's a Gruden grinder if there ever was one. Sending me texts. She's like, I know it's a bit out of your price range, Jeff, but I have this like $1.2 million home I think you might be interested in. Thanks, Karen. Love you. We'll be in touch, I'm sure, because we are moving to Rancho Mission Viejo.
So
we'll be in the old stomping grounds of Mama Sois.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, we are excited, and we're lucky to get a place. It kind of everything, the stars aligned. It was like our last one that we were like, all right, this is the last one. We're not doing it till after the baby comes, and then we got it.
So, oh my gosh, yeah. Closing? Okay, wait a minute. So is there going
to... That wasn't the original plan. There were some delays in the old escrow, some shenanigans. So we were supposed to close tomorrow, but now we're slated to close on the day that Shay has major surgery. So great timing, great planning all around, people.
So when is the signatures and all that stuff getting done?
I think we're taking care of that of Saturday evening.
Okay.
But I guess just because of like the next day is Sunday, so then they can't officially close until Monday. Some nonsense. We'll see. It's all still up in the air, but that's kind of the new current plan, which good thing we weren't planning on moving in until the 19th because of the new baby, so... didn't change too much in terms of like giving us a loop, and we were already getting kicked out of our, you know, rental place and
kicked out. Wow. Evicted.
Eviction. New, on the streets
is
with
this
Parker.
A new build?
No. Okay. So it is three or 4 years old. Yeah. 3 or 4 years old. They've done some, you know, some minor upgrades. It kind of all worked out. The guy is, he was in the Army before. He's like in the National Guard now. So like our VA loan was kind of hurting us in this wild market because people are just throwing down cash and waiving all their contingencies and can't really do that with a VA. So we kind of got lucky with who the seller was. And, you know, obviously the state of the house is pretty new. And then, yeah, it ended up working out. But
wow.
We can save all the rest of the details for the real estate pod.
Yeah, save for that.
Let's get into the biggest story. Honestly, Will, I mean, since we left, there has been some movement in our league. But what was the biggest move that you thought, maybe the biggest story throughout this free agency period?
I mean, you touched on it earlier. You know, there's a reason we missed out on a month of this. I mean, people are thinking it's because of my accident, but no, it's because our jaws just dropped to the floor when we saw what was happening in free agency and Mitchell Trubisky getting a second life going to the Bills. I mean, my God, learning behind Josh Allen, that really threw us for a loop. We thought he was going to stay with the Bears, and I mean, former number two overall pick, I mean, just goes straight to the backups. I mean, I don't really know else to say. It really stunned me, and we put a couple podcasts on hold because of it.
Yeah, we had to really look inward and some self-reflection on what we were doing with our lives, and good on the Bills, I guess, for getting Mitchell Trubisky could be a competent backup, and I think he's kind of like a poor man's Josh Allen, if you will, athletic, not as strong of an arm, not as accurate, not as athletic, but it's a lot of the same skill set. So interesting with, as Diggs dudes, we monitor the Bills closely on this pod. So we love that. But, Mitch Trubisky is one thing, but you wrote another thing down on this rundown that literally, as soon as I saw it, I said, ooh, me.
Oh, wow.
In honor of Pi Day. We're almost a month out from Pi Day, but why not?
That is going to be a big theme of this podcast, by the way, because that was the original recording date last month.
Yes, 3/14, Pi Day. I don't know if this is, it is controversial. Best pizza chain. You wrote Little Caesars. Now, what sparked this? Did you get Little Caesars recently? Are you talking value for deliciousness? I'm intrigued. Am I interested?
So I think everyone can agree. Well, there's a lot of things we can agree on. Save it for the ranking of the pizza chain podcast. But Domino's has definitely stepped up their game, I think, in the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, I'm a big proponent of Domino's. I'm not saying Domino's is bad by any means. But since moving to North Carolina, there are a lot of different pizza chains out here, some that no one's ever heard of. But Little Caesars, still national. But I've never been, when I was in California, I think the closest one was Riverside or something. I don't even think I've ever been to a Little Caesars when I was in California. But over
There's
here.
One in Mission Viejo.
Oh, well, there you go. I don't know. Whatever. But that was just a pizza chain that I. They have these commercials and stuff. They're like $6 for a pizza and it's ready when you're, I'm like, well, what is this nonsense? That can't be real. But over the last couple years, I've been kind of just, every once in a while, once every month or two, I just swing by, get a little $6 pizza. My God. I mean,
oh yeah,
it is
for $6.
Ready when you, it is hot and ready. And I've done my research. As far as I know, it's not frozen pizza. I mean, that's just a little deep dive. I've tried my best because Pizza Hut, talk about frozen pizza. Little Caesars, it's fresh. They have a new one every, they come out with a new one every 2 months. So last month was the pretzel pizza, which unfortunately hits the wayside at the end of March. Oh, my God. I mean, it's the best. It's Bring the it salty pretzel. They do a cheese sauce instead of pizza sauce. Whew! I mean, go out of my way to get that. But every year, every month, they get one with a $6 pizza, large pizza, and I'm just telling you right now, value, taste, through the roof, Little Caesars.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said, it's perfect for that food trip that you just talked about.
Yeah.
You worked a long day, you want a pizza, but you're faced with a couple of options. Do you dial up your local pizza joint? That's a 30 to 45 minute wait. Do I go to the store? Do I get a frozen pizza?
Which is it's the same price.
It's the same price. And you're waiting 10 minutes less. Okay, great. And then my oven's got cheese all over it after. Thanks. Now I got to scrape that off. Hot and ready, Little Caesars. There was a period in high school where I think Nick Jordan and I, we would go to Yogi's and then we would go get hot and ready's right after in Mission Viejo and just sit in our car and eat our $5 pizza. It used to be a point of pride that you could take down an entire hot and ready and maybe even a couple breadsticks. Because that was in high school. You had the metabolism of an absolute champion. So you could take down a whole hot and ready and a 2 liter and a couple breadsticks and feel good about yourself the next day. Not so much anymore, but I agree with you, Will. It's, you're not going to put it up against any sort of top tier pizza chain. But like you said, when you're comparing it to the Pizza Huts, the Domino's, it holds its own. The value, the ease, this, I think they, even on their app, like, you can just order it on the app, go to their little machine and, like, pop up in a code and get it. You don't even have to interact with anyone. You just walk in and get your pizza.
Yeah. They are ahead of their time with COVID. They're ahead of their time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're like, we literally only want one person working in our store at a time, if possible. And to your point, it's literally just to pretend like they're making pizzas in the back when they're really just putting frozen ones through that little oven. And
No, they're not. Little Caesar's not making, I'm telling you.
Fresh. Okay, it's fresh.
It's fresh. I've done my research. Just do a little research on Little Caesar's website. They wouldn't lie to you, right?
No, they would not lie to you. Man. I mean, look at that guy on the front of there. I mean, he's just.
I mean, they had the best Super Bowl commercial. They had the best Super Bowl commercial 2 years ago. Or last, whatever it was, where it was they start delivering. And it was a best thing since sliced bread. And it was Dwight Schrute from The Office. And it was like the greatest commercial of the Super Bowl.
It's that you know, that takes it to a whole nother level. Anything else you want to hit to before we hit the music corner and the walk back to March, Will?
No, let's keep the Ides of March going.
Okay, so back 311, great day, my birthday. But also... a band, and you wanted to, we've been hitting a little, you know, if we can even remember back a little, overrated, underrated, properly rated. Will, you have kind of, you have take here. 311, overrated, you said, question mark. I want to hear your take, and then I obviously have thoughts.
311, I believe they are the Cal Ripken of bands. They're compilers. I mean, they,
okay,
what are they, like 20 albums? I don't know how many albums they have, but they got like a single on each album, you know, and I mean, Amber's very overrated. I'm sure you could, that's just the song everybody knows. Didn't they do like a love song? I mean, oh my God, get out of here. Yes. I just, they're on the level of like, and this is going to be very controversial what I'm about to say right now. Sublime, you know, it's like that era, 311, Sublime, you know, I'm not a big groovy and get a little high kind of guy. So, these dudes, good for them. They've been around. They're probably still jamming out albums. I don't know, but yeah, I think they're overrated. I was never into that whole scene. Them, like I said, them in the Sublime scene. Not my crowd. So overrated for me. Not the most overrated ever, but I would say overrated.
See, I think where I would, obviously I think I'm a little biased. One, we have, my birthday is 311, so I mean, I have to like 311 because they share my birthday. But second of all, my sister is about 10 years older than us. And so she was around when, to your point, those Sublime and early 311, early albums were coming out and they were fresh and new. And so as a kid, when we were like in elementary school, you felt kind of like, not naughty, but, you know, we weren't supposed to listen to this type of music. And so it was, you know, it was definitely different. And so I personally enjoyed it, especially a lot of their early stuff. But I will say, I agree with the compiling thing. They have a ton of albums, like way too many to keep up with. They have some bangers. And the thing that gets me, Will, is that their drummer is really good and was actually an early influence on me in my drumming. So Chad Sexton, shout out. Because he had that distinct snare sound that was very intriguing to me at the time. So I really like that. I thought they were good, you know, musicians. They could bang out some hits. You know, some of the singing, rapping, groove stuff didn't work out all the time. And I think why I maybe disagree a little bit on the overrated is because it would have to be that today, and I think we'll get into a couple bands after this, they are maybe revered. Like, I get your Sublime take, 100%. They're probably overrated. But I feel like 311 is like a really niche band now. Like, they do a cruise for their fans. And like, to your point, it's people who want to just get some psychedelic groove and smoke some weed. And you're not hearing a lot of it on K-Rock, I will say, nowadays. So, but compilers, 120%. But you say you have a number one and it's not close. I have, I think, two of which I don't think you'll, maybe one you won't disagree with, the other two you may have issue with. So what is your number one?
I believe 13 albums 311 has. I'm trying to count. I'm sorry. Just counting as you were saying that. They just released one in 2019. So my number one most overrated band of all time is, drum roll please. Oh, and who's playing the drums? It's Dave Grohl, because it's Nirvana, the number one most overrated band of all time. Oh man, what a freaking snooze fest that band is. If I want to go to sleep and just wonder about, oh, how great Kurt Cobain would have been if he just either didn't commit suicide or got murdered by Courtney Love.
Yeah.
You know, oh, wow. Whoa, contrast. Cool power chords. All right.
No, yeah. I think with them, it's 100% about the context, right? Like, they were the one that popularized grunge and came out of that hair metal 80s scene, right? So I think that's what, obviously, to your, like, if we look back now, I mean, Smells Like Teen Spirit, you thought was awesome when you were in eighth grade. And then when you actually learned how to play the guitar and the drums, you were like, okay, this is like one of the easiest songs ever written. All right, we'll get into that.
I mean, people awesome. People say Smoke on the Water is the first song you ever learned on guitar. I mean, it's Come As You Are.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I do, 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 do. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. It's actually kind of funny. So I'll give you my number one that I don't think we'll have any issue with, and then we'll get into the number two and Ooh. Three. Number one, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh my.
100%. Like,
that
everything
is,
there, 100% played out on the radio to an extraordinary degree. Their best songs aren't even played, and the songs that do get played are just trash. So, I mean.
Oh my God. That is. Wow.
I like early Red Hot Chili Peppers. Like, I don't know. After the 2000s, it just went downhill quick, and they're revered as like a top rock band of all time, like because Flea got naked on one time and had a sock over his dong. I mean, okay,
this is
great. Wow. Number two, wow. And this is where two and three, you're gonna hate me.
Can I make a guess?
Okay, go.
Oh, wow, is it like the same era, kind of?
Yeah,
is one?
They're all pretty much the same era.
Is one the Offspring?
No.
Ooh. Okay. Good. Phew. All right.
They are kind of overrated.
They are kind of overrated. Oh wow.
It has a Dave Grohl tie.
Oh wow. The Mighty Foos.
Yes, Foo Fighters. Wow. I just never got into them really. Whenever a song comes on the radio by them, I always turn it. I just don't know what it is. I get it. I get the appeal, but it was just never for me. I always felt like they were really overrated because, again, like Red Hot Chili Peppers, they're like, you know, of that era in people's top 10.
I'm going to disagree with you 100% on Red Hot Chili Peppers, but with the Foo Fighters, I will agree with you, and I will give you this. I think if we were to, you know, there's all kinds of different sub-genres of rock, right? I mean, yacht rock, hard rock, soft rock, alternative, whatever. I think what Foo Fighters kind of represent is bland rock. Does that that make sense? Like, just they're there, they're on K, they're suitable for any rock station, rock radio station can play them without any, you know, whatever. I agree. I mean, yeah, bland rock is perfect for them. So Foo Fighters, wow. I agree. Number two.
Okay, I'm not gonna go with my number three. I think it may end our friendship, so I'm just gonna continue. It's along the same lines to what you were talking about. Like, they have their place in the rock spectrum, but honestly, Weezer.
Oh, no, 100%. Oh, man. Talk about albums. Oh, my God.
Compilers.
That's the ultimate compiler. I mean, listen, you just named bands that played together. Foo Fighters and Weezer. I went to that concert in like 06 or something like that. Yeah. Oh, 100%. Wow. No disagreement on the number two and number three.
Good. Like, the nostalgia of when you're in sixth grade listening to Weezer is awesome, which I'm starting to get that with Blink 182 a little bit but Weezer is just, you want to talk about songs that are easy, and I mean, good on them that they're able to make money on that level of musical talent, but I never understood it.
I will say the Foo Fighters are probably more overrated than Weezer. I do like, yes. I mean, I bought Pinkerton. I still have Pinkerton, I think, somewhere in my house. I love that album.
It's not that they haven't put out bangers. Yeah. It's just the banger ratio to fame level and musical ability level is just doesn't sit well
with me. And the fans. I mean, let's just call it what it is. No. Weezer fans. I mean, it's just, yeah, I agree. Not as hated as you might think. But Red Hot, I mean, I think Red Hot Chili Peppers is one of the most egregious things you've ever said on this podcast.
Wow. Like, I mean, that was the one I thought I was safe on. I thought.
No, I think, I mean, what, Californication came out, what, like 98? Maybe 99? I mean, Blood, Sex, Sugar, Magic, right? That's what it's called. That was like 95, yes. 93 or something like that.
Yes. I mean, those are good. And then?
Yeah. Then Stadium Arcadia. I get it. I think Californication is one of the greatest albums ever. I mean, and I'm not even talking about, like, you know, Other Side or Scar Tissue. Around the World is on that. Isn't Around the World on that CD?
No, I think that was before.
Parallel Universe. Because
you're talking about all the good songs.
Yeah.
And that's when they weren't rock stars at that point. I feel like they were just like a mid-level touring band, and then. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm off base here, Will. I can't listen to any of the songs that they play on the radio because it's none of those songs that you just mentioned. It's always like, oh gosh, I can't even think of them. They're so terrible.
Well, of course, I'm trying to freaking find it, and it's not even like it's this TV show, California. Yeah. Okay. First of all, I nailed it. Okay. I know my Californication. Number one song on it. No, this is the track list. Number one, Around the World. Number two, Parallel Universe. I mean, like, I just freaking nailed it. Scar Tissue, Other Side. Yeah, Get on Top is funny. And obviously, Californication. Yeah, so I think that's, Other Side's one of my favorite songs of all time. So there you go. Music Corner. Big hit. I'm telling you right now.
Ooh, music. We'll take it on the other side. Yeah.
All right. Moving on, Jeffrey. Lead us to the next ones.
NFL news. Okay. Where do we begin? I mean, I think we got to just pare it down to a couple things. Obviously, I feel like the biggest story that is unfortunate in our league is the Deshaun Watson saga. I think when we left you, early reports were starting to come out, but it was the where is Deshaun Watson going to be traded scenarios that were floating around, and lots of teams that we'll get into in a second were contenders, and we were thinking, you know, where's the best landing spot, what people from a fantasy perspective could be impacted, how Deshaun Watson's fantasy perspective be impacted, and today he is pretty much persona non grata by anyone, and probably for good reasons. I think, you know, people are still starting, women are starting to come out. We don't need to get into the nitty gritty on the details, but it's in the 20s. There's a couple active lawsuits. You know, he's not going to come out of this unscathed. At least his reputation and his earnings potential are pretty tarnished forever. No one wants this in this day and age. So any thoughts on Deshaun Watson? I mean, my guess is he likely ends up still on the Texans on some sort of exempt list.
NFI list, non-football, whatever, injury, whatever the heck they call it, list. I think the biggest thing that came out of this, you know, to really where it came to light that it was starting to look more and more true, or at least weird, was when either NFL, former NFL players, or just analysts, or just athletes were like, you know, what professional athlete has 20 different masseuses? Like, that's just kind of like what they were all saying. Mm-hmm. It was like, you find one and then that's it. Or it's a team, like, you know, a team issued one.
Yeah.
There's like, no person goes to 22 different people, 25 different people to try to find the right one. So that's where it kind of came to a head and people started to believe what was going on. It sucks. And for, you know, a sport defining talent like him, for this to come out is unfortunate in this league. It seemed like, you know, for a while there, the NFL was finally starting to look a little good, right? Like, I don't know. When was the last big... I mean, Robert Kraft got a couple little tugs, but other than that, like, it was just pretty good for a while, so it's unfortunate.
No one, like, murdering anyone? Or...
Well, except for today. I mean,
well... So, yeah, to me, it just goes to show, like, people revere sports people. They're big media stars. Like, you don't actually know these people, right? Like, Deshaun Watson,
before this, he had
this persona of like a good boy.
He's
do no wrong.
He was the one who was raised by like a single mom and work, former NFL star Warwick Dunn built him a house. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of these things. They built him a house through the charity foundation, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was a success story. And obviously, this is all, you know, all alleged.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, sure thing.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. Let's move on to better things in our league, William. Let's talk about a homegrown boy, Southern California kid, Sam Darnold, out of the Big Apple and down to your neck of the woods in the Queen City, to the old Panthers, little hookup with Matt Rhule, you know, kind of just builds off the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, which looks to be winding to an end with the Panthers being one of the now coming out. They were trying hard for Deshaun Watson, and now they move on to Darnold. See a Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think they've shipped him out yet, but, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a QB competition. Sam Darnold to the Panthers. I think it's one of those things where it will be intriguing, at least for a year, to see what, if anything, Sam Darnold can do. Definitely better talent from a skill position perspective in DJ Moore, and hopefully a fully healthy Christian McCaffrey. So as a San Clemente boy, I hope he does well, but, you know, I don't think his past performance would lead us to say that he can really elevate the Panthers. He will merely be a product of the system.
Reconnected with Robbie Anderson too. Get that connection back. The big thing is, do they go offensive line in the draft, or do they try to take that awesome tight end that everyone's freaking gushing about to help them on offense? I mean, they were a pretty watchable offense until, you know, even McCaffrey. I mean, Mike Davis leaves because he gets a good contract with the Falcons.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they were scoring points. It was their defense that was kind of pooping the bed. So they can't be, I mean, the worst thing is what? It's a lateral move. I mean,
yeah.
We'll see what happens with that. I think it'll be exciting. It's always fun to watch quarterbacks kind of move around and teams change. So,
yeah, talk about quarterbacks. Well, 49ers trade up to number 3, shipping out a bunch of picks. And, okay, obviously, full disclosure, I don't think either of us claim to be any sort of college football fans, aficionados, draft nicks, or anything. But I think they're going for a guy named Mac Jones or something like that out of Alabama. Maybe that's not his last name. I just remember.
No, you nailed it.
On that. But I guess all the talking heads are confused. Maybe it's a big ploy by Shanahan to throw people off the scent of a different quarterback that they're going off of. But the 49ers moved to 3. You know, there's controversies with Garoppolo still in the building. Looks like he will be around, and there will be some sort of competition trying to spur maybe a Brady-like or Rodgers-like resurgence, bringing some competition in the building, but paying a big price to get there.
Mac Jones be damned. Sorry, man. I think what you just said, the talking heads are like, why do this if you're going to take Mac Jones? Apparently, he's the one that would have still been there, you know, in the teens or so. But there's 5, I mean, if we want to do these over-unders again, how many quarterbacks can be taken in the first round? It might be 5 in the first 10 picks for some reason. I mean,
yeah,
obviously 1 and 2, and then now 3, because people are like, oh, maybe they want that tight end or whatever. Like, you're not trading 2 first-round picks and then obviously the one this year to go draft an offensive lineman or whatever. Like, you're taking a quarterback. And then there goes the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. Like, okay, so he's going to go somewhere after this. Like, and you just mentioned Teddy Bridgewater earlier. Like, all these quarterbacks. And, of course, we got the big one coming up in a couple sentences down below. The big one. The big move that actually took our jaws off the floor, replacing Mitchell Trubisky. The 49ers are going to keep this interesting. This draft's going to be interesting. It's in 3 weeks, pretty much, when I go back to work. So that's exciting. And it's live too, by the way, live in Cleveland. Niners going to really kind of make everything go crazy, and not just them too, because the Falcons right under them. And do they rebuild? Do they stick with Matt Ryan for 1 more, 2 more years? Do they trade him away? The talking about the draft is way better than the draft itself. I think everyone can agree that, because everything just kind of goes boring once the draft starts. But I think it'll be exciting to see where they go, and Mac Jones or Trey Lance or Justin Fields. I mean, these are all three more quarterbacks other than the top two, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson. So going to be very exciting to see what happens.
Yeah, no, I have not fully dove deep into the prospects and the draft itself.
You named Mac Jones. You got Mac Jones right.
Yeah, I got Mac Jones, and Tyler Pitts is another one where it's just like,
not Tyler, really, but it's okay.
Trevor, It's a Kyle. I thought it was a T name. I was big on the T name. Yeah, Kyle Pitts. Are we really going to do this again? What was that other? OJ Howard.
Oh, okay. God.
Are we doing this again?
TJ Hawkinson. I mean,
TJ Hawkinson. At least the Hawk had some decent fantasy performance and stayed on the field. I mean, OJ Howard.
I mean, can we just stop with this? Can we just stop with this? This is the greatest tight end prospect that we've seen in 20 years. Well, what happened when you talked about OJ Howard or TJ Hawkinson? Vernon Davis was like, what, 13 years ago? I mean, around that time. I mean, he was the greatest. He was drafted fifth, I believe. Like, come on, Kellen Winslow II. I mean, rest in peace, that dude. Yeah. There's always a generational tight. I mean, just get out of here. You guys missed on Gronk. Oh,
man. Yeah. Man,
let's move it. Let's keep moving.
Yeah, my faith in the old draft industrial complex has gone out the window at this point. Let's go rapid fire, Will.
Yeah.
Kenny Golladay leaves Jared Goff and says hello to the New York Football Giants. Positive, negative, lateral?
It's all right. I mean, that thing I hated after this move was, look at can anyone compete with the Giants skill players now? And I'm like, what? Who? It's like Kenny Golladay, Saquon, who's obviously got hurt last year. Evan Ingram, who was borderline, like people didn't even want him on the team. And then what? Yeah. Sterling Shepard and Darius, whatever his name is. What?
Slayton.
I mean, there you go. Cool. And Daniel Jones. All right. Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll name 10 teams better skill position players. So that's a hot take on that.
It's the Daniel Jones thing to me. It's like, this is it. You got no excuse anymore. You're either a player or you're going to be in the Mitchell Trubisky camp here in a second.
Exactly.
Speaking of Mitchell Trubisky, look at that. Woo, best in the biz right there. Bears, Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket, off maybe two games. God. Like I think he played four games. Two were absolute hot garbage. Two were okay. Gets another job, gets another payday with the Bears this time. Whatever happened to Nick Foles? What's he doing now? Is Andy Dalton the savior that the Bears are looking for to take them over the top and into the playoffs, perhaps, and into the Super Bowl?
There's no way this is their plan. Like, I can't. Because they were like, we're gonna go after our quarterback from the 2012 draft, Andy Dalton. Because come on now, that can't be their. This can't be their grandmaster plan. There's got to be something else coming. That's all I can really say.
Going off script. Speaking of grandmaster plans, quick fire thoughts on the Jonnu Smith Hunter Henry tandem to New England. I think everyone was a little jazzed. I mean, it was pretty funny. The Jonnu Smith articles, and then like 2 or 3 days later, they sign Hunter Henry.
Yeah, and then
And then it's not like, oh, well, there goes Jonnu Smith's value. It's like, oh, well, it's Aaron Hernandez and Gronk all over again. Here we go. I'm like, okay, people.
I mean, it was also the Hunter Henry, the typical Bill Belichick move, a.k.a. I don't want to say anything, but I think we all know what that means. And then they signed Jonnu Smith, and I was like, oh, okay. And then now it's Aaron Hernandez. Well, he's not Hispanic. Okay, all right. Yeah, I love it. I think it's cool. It's exciting. Like, I think it's great when, like, last year was kind of lame, right? Like, to pick on the Patriots. Like, I don't know. Like, it's because they were just bad. Like, they weren't, you know, Cam Newton was cool for a couple weeks and it was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, it's exciting whether or not they're winning. But then they just got kind of bad. So then it was like, oh, it's kind of like they're not kind of cool to talk about. So this year, people are projecting maybe they make a trade to get a quarterback in the first round, which is maybe why the 49ers did what they did. Exciting. We'll see what they do. We'll see if someone like Edelman comes back. We'll see if Cam Newton can do anything with them the second year go around. I mean, he's the one who wanted to come back, to be honest, because he wanted that extra time.
I honestly think the Patriots are going to be sneaky this year because, one, they're always sneaky, but two, I think if you turn the clock back a year and how many, like, good defensive players sat out for them that they're just getting back now, that are just like plug-and-play starters, I think they're going to be sneaky. I mean, their offense has nowhere to go but up. I think they only threw 10 touchdowns last year, which is absolutely horrendous. So this tight end combination can only help them. And then last but not least, I guess two last points. We'll keep it to free agency. One that really grounded, I don't know, my gears, just really got under my craw.
Gritting grinder.
Was everything that the Raiders did. Everything. They had one of the top five offensive lines, and then they shipped like 80% of it out the door. Yep. And then we're big Josh Jacobs guys. And then on the I don't know if big, but we are supporters of the lad. To put a cherry on top, they bring in Kenyon Drake. Like, what are we doing here? Are we just spelling Josh Jacobs? Are we adding? I mean, I'm not a Kenyon Drake hater. I hated him at his value last year, but you just hate to see it for Josh Jacobs, who was one of the only, you know, lead back, yeah, to do it all guys left in the league. And now he's going to just be mired in maybe a committee. It's just the we don't know thing. It's another layer of unknown that, unfortunately, we have to deal with as fake football managers.
It kind of like blows the top out of the whole Raiders thing, which is we're going to go back to the 60s with the ground and pound with, you know, we're going to take one guy and run him 40 times a game. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait, now you're not? Now you're going to do a third down back with Kenyon Drake and make people guess who you're going to use? Kind of messes with that. And like you said, the offensive line. Like, now they're getting rid of that. And they're losing their one good receiver they had last year, Nelson Aguilar. And they're getting, who'd they?
Oh, that was an absolute donk signing.
Yeah, and then
paying him so much.
Who'd they get instead? They just signed some receiver. Like, doesn't matter. It's not gonna do anything for them because it's the Raiders. And I just had to edit one of my teasing the next segment here. The Pi Day fantasy superlatives. I just had to edit one because I did have Josh Jacobs as one of them.
Yeah,
and I had to take him out because gonna make it happen. Corey Davis went to the Jets. Okay, I don't really care anymore. Let's move it on.
Yeah, John Brown.
Oh my God. I mean, come, what are you doing? Yeah. I mean, John Brown's cool, but I mean, him and Henry Ruggs, good luck, you know. I mean, good luck covering him, I guess. But
go routes all day.
Moving on, Jeffrey.
Moving on. One last in the NFL world. Didn't even know this was happening, and then just saw some good things on Twitter about it. Aaron Rodgers is hosting Jeopardy, and, you know, in true Aaron Rodgers fashion, he jokes at the end, I think I could do this during the regular season, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, Aaron, we get it. You're cool. But I enjoyed the trawling. I only saw one, but I guess there was multiple of a guy making a comment about the, you know, kicking a field goal as an homage to the playoff game this past year. Did you watch any of it? I know I've kind of, since Alec left us, been out of touch on the Jeopardy front. Any comment on the Rodgers?
I watched it last night. I watched an episode last night. To prepare. And, he's definitely trying to find a groove. He's very robotic at times. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know, Alex Trebek had his own little witty comments. So I think Rodgers just needs, he filmed 10 days worth of episodes. And you know, little known, I'm sure everybody knows they film all those episodes in like 2 days. So yep. I'm sure you'll notice by the sixth or seventh episode, maybe next week, he'll start getting a groove. But it's funny. It's just funny watching him be there. You know what I mean? And he's huge.
Yeah.
He's way bigger than you would think. Like, in a suit, his shoulders are like Michael Phelpsian. Like, it's just he's a dashing.
You only see him around huge people. So
yeah,
when he's out of that context.
And like you said, he mentioned he could do it during the NFL season because it tapes in February. So he's not making any Super Bowls, so he's got plenty of time to do that.
So on that point, is like Jake from State Farm like really like jacked?
I think he is.
Because I mean, if you compare it to Aaron Rodgers is what? He's got to be like 6'3", 6'4", and built. And so Jake from State Farm, good for you, dude. What do we want to go, Will? We're coming up on a hard out. We got about 10 minutes.
You're the host. You choose. Make it happen. I noticed a new bracket. Like, I'm all in on this.
Okay, let's hit the fantasy corner. Then we'll tease the bracket. We'll leave the listeners wanting for the pod. When, I have no idea when we're going to be able to do another pod, but that's for another day. You know, we'll go back to Pi Day. We talked Little Caesars.
Yeah.
We hit it in the beginning. And in that honor, we're big on superlatives. We're big on over, under, properly rated. Fantasy pizza superlatives, okay? This isn't your best dress. This is your comparisons to the deliciousness that is pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Starting off with I don't know how you feel about this type of pizza, Will, but a thin crust pizza. There's kind of, I mean, you got your flatbreads that can be thin crust. You got your New York style, which can be thin crust. And then you got your just absolute crispy.
Yeah, that's where I was going with this.
Chinkadinks, yeah. Thin crust.
Yeah.
So you wrote that this seems to be a good value, a.k.a. healthy, but not really.
Yeah.
Who did you have?
And I went David Montgomery here. I think he's going to be one of those people that everyone's gonna be like, hey, remember 2 years ago? You know, like it's one of those ones that kind of, they're good and they fall off a cliff for a year and then people think they're going to come back to where they were 2-3 years ago. This happens a lot in fantasy where you think you're getting a sneaky pick. So like I said, a good value, thin crust, people think, oh yeah, it's healthy, right? Because it's less bread, but it's kind of gross. So yeah, not going there. David Montgomery, a little gross, wouldn't touch it. May look appetizing on the outside, but really it's just some crappy pizza.
Yeah, and my
superlative
here would be a year ago's perspective. Okay, let me set it up here, Will, before you trash it. Okay, this guy last season, Todd Gurley, he looked good. He knew team seemed healthy, but literally it was one of those thin crust slices where you pull it out and it's just black on the bottom. Wow. But you don't look; you're just holding it, and then you bite into it. The cheese looks nice and melted. There's a good ratio of sauce to cheese. You bite in and the burnt, crispy nature of it just tarnishes the whole thing. And to your point, where even is Todd Gurley? Is he just, he's done? He's down behind, you know, Mike Davis. Maybe he'll
spell. Can you name the team? Can you name the team he's on?
No. I assume he's still on the Falcons.
He's on the Greybeards.
Oh, he's a free agent just on the streets.
Yeah, didn't even make the Greybeards. That's crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah. Him and Le'Veon Bell.
Wow. Oh, wow. Oh my goodness.
How the mighty have fallen.
Please.
We got a couple things to get into in this next one. Well, you wrote deep dish and then in parentheses, the Chantilly cream. Now, I'm more of a pan toss guy, which has it's obviously not a
thin crust, pan.
But it's
is
not
it
a
pan. Pan pizza?
Pan.
Yeah.
Pan.
Pan. Gotcha.
Pan.
Yes.
Panned. Pan?
Yeah, pan.
Pan. Okay. You wrote the Chantilly cream. Like, are we talking Chicago?
So I was going Chicago deep dish, but okay. pan is. I mean, there's a pan pizza in our fridge right now from Domino's.
So. Okay. Oh, see, there you go. Yeah. So when I just wanted to clarify, you wrote Chantilly cream. So
I do think
I do agree with your selection, though. So let's get into that.
I mean, you touched on it earlier. We've been Diggs dudes for 2 seasons now. We're going to be him again next season. We're going to be him until the day he dies. He won us some money. He almost won us some money a second time. Stephon Diggs, I think, I don't care where people are drafting him. I still don't think he's going to go higher than the third round, right? I mean, no one's going to pick him in the first or second round, I don't think.
No.
He's crept up to the four. I mean, he's always been like a fourth rounder guy. Stephon Diggs, I don't think you'll ever be disappointed is kind of where I'm going. Like, yeah, you might. He might get you a 2-catch-for-30-yard game, but overall through the whole season, I think he's the guy you want. Great, great player.
Yeah. Love the Stephon Diggs. And, you know, the Mitchell Trubisky signing just, I think, takes him over the top.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, regardless, he'll have value. My guy is Alvin Kamara. I mean, he's the Chantilly cream of the modern running back. Elusive, pass catching, can still run the rock down the middle. It'll be interesting, I guess, this year with, I don't know if it's a controversy, a faux controversy, or what's happening, obviously, with the Saints quarterback situation. So we'll see. Obviously, last year when Taysom Hill started, Alvin Kamara kind of disappeared. Who knows if that was injury or scheme or what was happening. And now the Saints are saying that Jameis was the starter and they gave Taysom a bunch of fake money. So a lot of things in flux, but it's kind of like you're going to a bunch of different pizza joints, but if you go to a tried and true, you know, you're going to get some Chantilly cream. And just like Stephon Diggs, Alvin Kamara is my pick there. Next up, switching away from, you know, the vessel or the crust of the pizza and going more little toppings, we wrote Supreme. So a player that kind of gives you a bit of everything.
Yeah, and I went to Austin Eckler. Pretty easy. I think this one's pretty easy. Yours is an interesting choice, but yeah, Austin Eckler. I mean, last year he gave you a little injury, which is great. And then he always gives you the catches. He gives you the running. He's a good blocker. He gives you some good celebrations in the end zone. He likes rocking the guitar, you know. And he streams on Twitch. So a little bit of everything there. Austin Eckler. Yeah.
Yeah, I went with Tyreek Hill, and stay with me for a second here, Will. So Supreme Pizzas are, you know, a delicate balancing act. There's a lot of toppings, and you need the equal distribution. So I kind of took it as a boom or bust thing. You can get a good Supreme Pizza, good amount of toppings, good meat to veggies ratio, really key here. And that's Tyreek Hill. He's going to give you a couple games where you're getting that sweet prime pepperoni, sausage, peppers, onions, mushrooms, if you're into that kind of thing. Just goodness, a 200-yard, 2-touchdown banger. He's going to give you some that are just pure mushroom and really bad cheese to sauce ratio where he's getting like two yards, zero catches, just a little run. And he's also giving you a little bit of taunting in every game. And he's also a little bit of excitement, a little bit of piquing your interest as he's streaking down the line. Maybe he catches the ball, maybe he doesn't. That's why I went with Tyreek Hill, giving you a little bit of everything on that Supreme Pizza. So going from Supreme to now the basic of the basics, plain cheese. You know what you're getting? You could be getting. You're not getting a lot of excitement. You're just getting pizza. Okay. And who'd you go with for that?
So I first went with Josh Jacobs, but now that we signed Kenyon Drake, I don't know what we're getting with Josh Jacobs. So I'm going to go with Mr. what I think pretty boring, and that's Julio Jones. And I mean that in the sense of everything, off the field, comments, talking, no taunting. He puts on his uniform, he takes it off. He's a real bootstrapper. No time for some nonsense. And you're getting 7 touchdowns, you're getting 1,000 yards, and you're getting 80 catches. Nothing's going to... You might get a 30-point blow-up, but other than that, you're probably getting 16 fantasy points a game, and you're fine. And that's it.
I agree 100%, and you know, there's nothing wrong with a little plain cheese in my book. And along that lines, I'm going with Derrick Henry. He's a plain cheese. You know, you can get good plain cheese pizza here, people, okay? But, I mean, Derrick Henry, he's not the most dynamic runner. He's going to bowl you over. He's going to run right up that gut. He's going to break a couple. He's going to have a lot that just go for 2 yards and do nothing. I mean, he looks good in that uniform, just like a plain cheese pizza looks good on that pan. Derrick Henry is my choice.
Do you want to move on to the bracket tees? We are on that hard out.
Yeah, let's do that. We got a couple minutes. So we've teased it a little bit before, but it's been a long time for those who are avid listeners looking at you, Terry, there. Let's talk about, you know that I've been watching all the Marvel movies on Disney Plus in timeline order, and the moment has come, Will. We're a little past March, but the bracket has arrived. Now, I will caveat by saying this is not every movie in the Marvel comic book universe. There are a couple Spider-Man movies that are not on Disney Plus, which I was a little upset with because I think they're bangers, so... I did not seed them. So there are 20 movies on Disney Plus in the timeline order. I believe 20. Yes. So ranked them all out. And as it kind of seeded out, I was a little bit upset because I wanted to use a kind of standardized methodology. I didn't want to try to influence my bias. So I went with domestic box office. So at the time. So this is all based on which movies made money, which movies didn't make money. Try to make a proxy for, popularity without heading into the Chinese markets or the Malaysian markets or things like that. So this is how it kind of stuck out. 20 teams, if you will. Obviously, the Avengers are all very highly rated. You kind of see that Endgame, Infinity War. The Avengers at 3, and then 4 is where you get Age of Ultron. So I think the Avengers movies from a cash perspective are the top dogs. If you kind of look at the bottom, you're getting the Thor movies, you're getting the Ant-Man movies, you're getting your Captain Americas, your Doctor Strangers, which looking back were a little bit unfortunate because I wanted some controversy, and it's unfortunate that the Ant-Man and Wasp and Ant-Man, even though they weren't back-to-back, they ended up playing each other in the first round. Not that they would have been super dark horses, but I think they would have been, it would have created more interesting matchups. And similarly, this is where the box office thing, kind of didn't work the best because they were so you know, they were created in 2008, and that was Iron Man and Iron Man 2. So those were 17 and 16 seeds, respectfully. So a little bit underrated there. Well, you know, they faced some tough competition early on, didn't get the opportunity to shine. Any major things that you see, Will, other than obviously Captain Marvel being absolutely way overrated at an 8 seed, that you take issue with?
I don't, and we have plenty of time to talk about it in future episodes. The one question I have for you, and you know, you ranked it based on domestic box office, which is fine. I would have liked a ranking based on your file. So just what was your number one out of the 20 you watched?
Oh, my number one, well, I mean, a little tease to the brackets here, but the Infinity War is by far the best movie. Avengers Infinity War.
I that is definitely up there. Definitely the antagonist, the seemingly doom that they all have. That is a fantastic choice, Jeffrey. And of course, we have the actual real video game character bracket, which we'll get into as well. The villains side is done, and we will get to that at some point, Jeffrey. But close it out. Wrap us up. It's time for work.
Yes.
What do you got?
It's... Potatoes are back at Taco Bell. you know, Will, you're in a special scenario. I don't know if you know this. It being in the Charlotte area, we are testing our chicken taco out there. So you are special in your ability.
Wait, what?
Yes, you're one of two places in the entire U.S. where you can try the Taco Bell chicken soft taco with our breaded chicken.
I see early access. Oh, I don't know. I'll try to find it. I'll do my best.
Yeah, don't go to your KFC Taco Bell.
Oh, here we go.
Figure it out. All right, do the right thing. Here. Okay. Don't look at the app, Will. We all know Don't get me started, Will. Don't get me started. Okay, well, this has been the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. I'm Jeff. You got Will over there. The comeback pod, the off the PUP pod. We're back. We're ready. Obviously, baby's coming in less than a week. We're gonna make it happen though for you, the listener. This has been great, Will. Good to hear you doing well. Peace out.
Jose, you're getting a gift card, I promise. Peace.